Now in its 12th season, a new season of Wisconsin Life is underway on PBS Wisconsin with a premiere episode tonight at 7. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today, and joining us next, somebody you know, Angela Fitzgerald, host of Wisconsin Life, as well as Why Race Matters, which airs on PBS Wisconsin. Also here, Joel Waldinger, a series producer for PBS Wisconsin and a reporter for the Wisconsin Life Project. Angela and Joel, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
This is a hard interview for me to do because I am a fan.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I have just enjoyed the way that Wisconsin Life has made me feel for years now. I want to thank you both for that feeling. And I want to start by asking you about how you make that feeling happen to the people that you watch. What is it that speaks to my Wisconsin soul from Wisconsin Life, Angela?
Well, I think the authenticity in the storytelling within both the on-location shoots that I'm a part of and the voiceover shoots that are produced by Joel and the production team, we really are intentional about sourcing stories that reflect the wide breadth of diversity within the state and that just really speak to the Wisconsin experience and from angles that people might not necessarily suspect.
Right. Like, I can relate to it, but it's something I totally never would have seen or known or related to without you. Joel, where do you find these stories, these people?
I love that question because I get it all the time.
Yeah.
And they come from all over. But I have a couple of great stories. One, a few years ago, I was having a garage sale at my cabin near Rhinelander. And this Cadillac Escalade pulls in and these four or five guys get out, a couple of them with British accents. And I get to talking to them. And they were looking at stuff that my dad had collected while he was in the military in Japan. Smoking jackets, some albums, things like that. And I got to talking to them, found out they were the group Badfinger.
What?
And you might not recognize their name, but you definitely recognize their music.
Yeah.
They were the first group that the Beatles signed to Apple Records.
Wow.
And there was a guy from Madison who one of the band members had passed away. He replaced him, and he had been touring with Badfinger. They were headed to Michigan to play at a casino. I told them what I did. I said, hey, I'd really like to tell your story on Wisconsin Live. And they gave us full access.
Amazing. From a garage sale.
From a garage
sale. You get your
sale.
Ideas from a garage sale.
Basically, yeah. But also, one story can lead to another. Like, once you do a story with someone and they know the types of stories about people and passion and things like that, they're like, I know someone else that you might be interested in. So that's another way. But also just being curious.
But it also goes back to the way we're all connected. As these stories lead you from one to another, you find that in some way or other, we all go back to each other.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's the feeling, Angela. Where did this season take you? Give us some of the far corners of the state that you've been to for Wisconsin Life.
Well, we traveled all over for this season that you all are currently viewing and that we filmed up until this past summer.
Oh, wow.
So it was very recent that, you know, everything was put together for your viewing enjoyment. But we went as far as Superior to spend time with the Superior City Football Club. We were able to attend the Juneteenth Festival in Milwaukee this past June. We went to Helenville to check out a local farm and try their fresh produce. And also, they had some animals there that was very fun to interact with. And then also, we went to Sheboygan for the Bookworm Gardens. Which
is tonight.
Yes, that one is tonight. And that was such a fun shoot. Just the creativity of that space. Yes, had a blast.
I am looking forward to seeing that. I've seen a preview. But also tonight, there is something about porcupine needles. Is that right?
I believe so, but I'm going to punt to Joel for that one.
Is there porcupine needles tonight?
There could be, but that's not my story. My story is about loons tonight.
You've got the loon researcher, and we have a little bit of a preview for you. Again, that's tonight at 7 on PBS Wisconsin, and here's a little bit of what you can expect.
For more than 30 years, Walter has been watching loons during his annual pilgrimage to northern Wisconsin.
I really love the solitude of being out on a lake in a canoe, watching loons, being sort of at one with them, watching them raise their families.
Walter is a loon behavior and reproduction specialist. His observations are providing new insights.
When you see loons preening, after they've done all that combing of the feathers, they'll get up and straighten out their wings by doing a wing flap.
However, the calls that echo across the lakes in the North Woods are still very much a mystery.
We've only begun to scratch the surface about what they're communicating with their calls.
Joel, where did you find Walter Piper?
So I wanted to do a story about loons.
Yeah.
That was my impetus.
You wanted the sound of the loons on the show.
Exactly. Uh-huh. What's more Wisconsin than loons?
I'm with you.
And I found out that Walter has been doing research in Vilas and Oneida County for the last like 35 years. He's actually a biology professor at Chapman University in California, and he comes to Wisconsin every year. He's the expert in our state right now on loons. And what I didn't know until the day before we shot the story is that they actually do all their research overnight.
What?
So we went out with him to capture these loons at night. We got great video by chance. It was luck, actually, that we got. We're able to capture this in the middle of the night, basically, and see the loons being captured. But what Walter's research shows is that the loon population in Wisconsin is being decimated by climate change. And so the loon population is dwindling. And he can see this over the past 35 years in his research. And he just wrote a new study on the water clarity and black flies and climate change and how there may come a day in the near future where we don't have loons on Wisconsin lakes anymore because they're just not hatching the same number of loons that they did 30 years ago.
I want to reject that. I want to say, like, there's a part of me that says, no, we're going to have loons, but that's a much bigger story to tell.
Yeah, and how iconic, the loons in Wisconsin.
Oh, wow. Angela, last week I saw you at Taliesin.
Yes.
With Minerva Montooth, which I thought was just the most amazing story. Here is a woman who lives at Taliesin. I didn't know anybody lived there.
Neither did I until this story.
Okay, you and me both then.
Yes.
What's it like to walk into one of these shoots and meet these people and then try to share their story in a way that respects everything in a matter of a few minutes?
That's a great question, because when you're walking to a new setting, like, there's so much to take in.
Yeah.
And that's not even including the technical side of the setup and the things that we have to do.
The fourth wall.
Yes, the breaking that fourth wall,
uh-huh.
Yes. But focusing on the setting itself and the people, I really just try to find like a point of connection because not everyone is comfortable with being on camera. I quickly learned that because it feels easy to talk to people, but to talk to someone with cameras in their face and sometimes bright lights depending on
the
situation, it's not. And so trying to establish a lane of comfortability for folks that they show up as their best selves, really try hard to do that along with the rest of the crew.
That's amazing. I mean, you think of the right questions to ask, but not necessarily the right tone or how to build a relationship within a matter of minutes with huge lights making you sweat.
Right. Exactly.
You look at it from your perspective, Angela, it's a different shot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I have a great time with it. But again, it's considering all those different elements and still trying to retain the personal connection. So that shows up within the story.
So coming up Monday on the Larry Mueller Show, we have the Taliesin story. And the Taliesin story has some really weird turns. Like Frank Lloyd's right, his life turned at Taliesin. I'm fascinated with this place now because of the history of it, but also because it's still writing the history with Minerva Montooth still living there. I had no idea. Some of the other stories that we can expect this season, Angela, where else did you go that you'll be taking us to in the weeks to come?
Where else did we go? We checked out a zoo in Racine. That was fun. We're able to get up close and personal with animals in a way that I did not expect, like walking through a kangaroo space and thinking, is this safe? But that was set up.
You know, we were just in Australia, right? And we were
right.
Just talking about how mean the kangaroos are there. Were
right.
They mean to you, Angela?
They were not. They were actually very calm, which was pleasant because you're right. You're seeing all these images sometimes of strong-looking
boxing kangaroos.
Right. That was not our experience at all.
Good,
they were
good,
very,
good.
They were very chill.
Looking forward to that. I didn't know there were kangaroos in Wisconsin.
There are. And then we spent some time in Walworth at the Bridge Food and Diaper Bank, which was a very heartwarming shoot because I was able to interact and interview with a woman who, her family experienced some hardship. She was coming to the food pantry for the first time, and she just like literally broke down crying while we were talking just about the experience and the significance of that space and how it's supporting her family through this time of hardship.
Mm.
And then, I guess, lastly, I'll end with the Bergstrauf Mahler Museum of Glass.
Yes.
That was a fun, unexpectedly fun shoot because we literally got to interact like children do with creating art. So they had me in an art maker space creating, I think they were basically like ornaments out of broken glass.
Oh.
And they shipped it to my house. So it arrived like a couple of weeks ago. I was like, what's this box? Like, this is the thing that I made that had to go in the kiln. So I couldn't take it home after the shoot. And they were committed to shipping it to us. So it was just fun to just be in that setting and feel like a kid again.
Your fun is what translates through. Like, you having fun makes me have fun. And Joel, what's it like for you? I mean, putting this all together, I imagine, is work at some point. So how come it ends up feeling like so much fun?
I think part of it is the people and their passion. I meet so many interesting people in this job, traveling all over the state, as all of our crews do. And I think that is part of it. They entrust us with telling their story, and it becomes very personal. It becomes very personal for me to make sure that I get that story right, I get that tone right, and I want them to be proud of what story we are telling.
So after that story is told, what do they say to you? What kind of feedback do you get from the folks that you've featured in Wisconsin Life on PBS Wisconsin?
A lot of times it's like, I had no idea that this was going to turn out as good as it did. You encapsulated exactly what I wanted people to know. Or, you know, this past season for me as an interviewer, I've been doing this for a couple of decades now, and just the raw emotion that I was getting from people. My job as a producer, a reporter, is not to make the person that I'm interviewing cry. I look at it as to make the person at home feel that emotion.
Yeah.
And it definitely came through in several of the stories this year that we were working on. So, you know, the feedback is very positive. And that for me is the most rewarding thing, because they entrusted me with telling their story.
Joel Waldinger, our guest. He's a local series producer for PBS Wisconsin and a reporter for the Wisconsin Life Project. Also joining us, the host of Wisconsin Life, Angela Fitzgerald, also the host of Why Race Matters, which airs both on PBS Wisconsin. And if you have your favorite Wisconsin Life story, please join us. 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us, talk@WPR.org. There's a new episode of Wisconsin Life airing tonight at 7 on PBS Wisconsin, and there will be porcupine quills. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today, and you are listening to WPR News. Ever been to Bookworm Gardens in Sheboygan? Well, you can go tonight with PBS Wisconsin's Wisconsin Life. A new season is now underway, and you can find it all Thursday, brand new Thursday nights at 7 on PBS Wisconsin. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today, and our guests are Angela Fitzgerald, host of Wisconsin Life, and Joel Waldinger. He's a producer with the Wisconsin Life Project, and you can join us as well at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And I have another clip for an upcoming show. I'm not sure when this will be, but it has an accordion in it. The World of Accordions Museum, Joel.
Yeah, that was up in Superior. And this is a story, again, where I had heard about the museum, but I didn't know a lot of the backstory of the person who put it together. And her story is fascinating. It starts in World War II.
Let's hear a little bit and get a preview.
Accordion music has danced across our state for nearly 200 years. Brought from the Old World by European immigrants, that polka sound is synonymous with Wisconsin.
It's unique and beautiful. Everybody loves it.
That's especially true for Helmy Strahl Harrington.
I've never known another Helmy. It means pearl in Finnish.
Helmy is a pearl like none other, and she founded the world's largest accordion museum.
It's nice that it happens to be Wisconsin. And I say with absolutely no modesty that we are the best, because we have the most, but we also have the most unusual. And some of these are really quite remarkable.
Wisconsin, not known for its modesty, evidently. We are the best. 2,500 accordions up in Superior, and who knew without Wisconsin Life, Joel?
Yeah, absolutely. But what makes this really interesting is her mom made a living playing the accordion after World War II at a Red Cross camp. And before they immigrated to the United States, she wanted to bring three accordions with her. And there was a U.S. soldier on the ship who said, no one needs three accordions. So he threw one overboard. Now, this is her living. So she comes to this country with two accordions, teaches her daughter everything she knows, and her daughter now has over 2,500 accordions.
That is an amazing story.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know where it would get told if there wasn't this forum for Wisconsin Life. Angela, what's the team like? Because I know you're front and center in all of this, and it's your voice and it's your face. But what's it like to work with this Wisconsin Life team?
It's been great. I've had the privilege, I will say, of working with the Wisconsin Life team for, I think it's been 8 years now that I've been with the show. So, Kelly, our producer, is amazing. We have awesome videographers, awesome producers. And there have been people that were around originally that aren't here anymore who've gone on to awesome things and some who remain. But it's a great team, a very humble team that does great work and are very nimble in how they can adjust to maybe some environmental conditions that weren't expected, because that's one of the unique elements of shooting outside of a studio space where things are controlled. You just have to kind of go with the flow to make it work. And so I admire the technical expertise that is brought into a shoot setting that allows us to produce what you all get to see.
And the thing about technical expertise is you only notice it when it goes wrong. Like technical expertise, when it happens right, you don't even know it's there. And that's kind of the feeling with Wisconsin Life, is I feel like I'm there with Angela and her guest and walking through Taliesin with Minerva. It's just an amazing experience. But it's all because that fourth wall and behind the scenes, there's a lot technically going on that you don't even think of when it goes right. That's really impressive. And I think when you're, because our Wisconsin Life here on WPR News features Maureen McCollum, and I see a lot of similarities with you and Maureen, Angela. Like you are looking to make that connection with people at where they are, and then share that with us in a way that I think isn't art form as much as it is a science, to bring other people into your interpersonal conversations that you're having. And that ain't easy.
Absolutely. It's not. And that's why I greatly appreciate people giving up their time and their stories for us to share and entrusting us to share their stories in the right way.
But how do you become Angela Fitzgerald or Maureen McCollum? Like
I don't even know if I have an answer to that, because I don't know if I've become what you're describing exactly yet. But I will say it's definitely been a journey, having the opportunity to host Wisconsin Life. I am a naturally pretty introverted person, so there's a part of me that I have to turn on to do this work. And when I'm on, and then afterwards I'm like, okay,
I gotta go.
Now it's time
recuperate,
to, yes.
Recharge.
Now it's time to go get back on the charger. But it's fun. Like I said, the crew is amazing, and we get to connect with so many great people that it often just feels fun. It doesn't feel like work in the traditional sense. So I do appreciate that.
And I can relate. Joel, what is it about an introvert that brings other people out? That it just sort of, like, it brings the story that they want to tell and creates this feature that becomes something that they're so proud of, like you talk about.
I think a lot of it is trust. We have to earn their trust. And we've done this now for 12
right?
seasons. We can show them samples of work that we've done. And it might be something similar, not exactly, but something they might be interested in, whether it be wood carving or fishing or something along those lines. And they see the work and the professionalism that we put in. And, you know, a lot of it is, like Angela said, you've got to quickly develop a relationship with that person.
Which can feel artificial if you don't do it right.
But if you do your research in advance and you
right.
know going in things about this person, things they're interested in. And I think the other thing is, I am truly interested in what they have to say.
There it is. This ability to be open, curious, empathetic all at once. Those are things that aren't always easy to be as a person, just out and about. So to be able to have that skill, I think, speaks volumes. In your time at Wisconsin Life, Angela, what's one memory that sticks out to you as like, geez, I can't believe this happened, whether it was on camera or off? Is there a moment?
I will say I think it was the very first season that I joined Wisconsin Life, and we went, I don't remember the location city-wise, but Jurassic Park will stand out in my mind for, I don't know, maybe the rest of eternity for me.
What is Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park is a interesting hobby that evolved for a retired man who was into welding. So he created all these metal sculptures in his yard, in his home, for people to just tour and enjoy and interact with. And you could tell he was having a blast just walking people around and showing them these random creations, some that were huge, on his lawn for people to view. And so that, to me, was an early indication of, okay, this is what Wisconsin life is about.
Uh-huh.
Like, showing off interesting things, people just leaning into what brings them joy, mm-hmm. and providing a platform for the rest of the state to enjoy them as well.
Jurassic Park is in Marshfield.
Thank you.
I did not know this. Somebody else knew this on the other side. Joel, how long have you been in Wisconsin Life? Have you been there since the beginning?
I've been there since the beginning, yeah. I've been with PBS Wisconsin for about 17 years.
So how did Wisconsin Life get off the ground then? What's the origin story?
Well, we were looking for, part of it was a partnership with radio.
Oh.
And your Wisconsin Life that you guys do there. And originally the show was non-hosted, and then we luckily found Angela to come along for the ride, so to speak, and to bring viewers along as well. So it has evolved over the years, but the core mission is always people and their passion and storytelling.
What's the story that sticks out to you after 12 years?
There's one that I did. They're all like my babies, so you're asking me my favorite
child. Who's your favorite child? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really hard because I have a lot of favorites. I have a lot of children out there, so to speak, in the video world. But I did one on a guy who was a log roller, professional log roller,
oh, wow.
up in Hayward. And he describes how, as a kid, you don't go to the swimming pool, you go to the log rolling pond, and you learn to log roll. And he was a 5-time world champion. He was ESPN's Lumberjack Man of the Year. And then 9/11 happened. Hmm. And he decided to join the military and went to Iraq, and unfortunately, an IED blew off parts of both of his arms, and all he wanted to do was, he was recovering, was log roll. And when he came back, he didn't have that balance.
Right.
He wanted to give it up, and he kept at it, and he won 4 more world championships.
What?
With basically, you know, an arm and a half after his disability in the military. So that was a story that was an interview that I didn't want to end. Like,
yeah.
I could have just kept going because he was so fascinating. And he treated it all with humor, which I found really interesting.
Not it's, poor me, but...
Nope, not at all. Not
let's
at
laugh
all.
At this and move on.
Yeah.
What are, so everybody's got a story to share. I mean, everybody's got something special that makes them who they are. And Wisconsin Life is in the business of featuring stories like these. How do folks reach out to you and say, I think I know somebody or something that would be perfect for Wisconsin Life?
We get emails all the time,
okay.
From people, or out on a story, they'll see, I'm doing one right now on the Ice Age Trail, and the guy that is basically puts the scenic in the scenic trail, he does all of the
wild... I didn't know there was a guy for that.
The wild seeds and the maintenance of the trail and all of that. And while I was doing that story, a lady came up to me and said, hey, look, I have muscular dystrophy, and I want to walk the entire length of the Ice Age Trail. So, again, we get our stories from all different places.
Hmm. Angela Fitzgerald, what are your hopes for the future of this program? Where do you want it to go?
I've recently become fascinated at archives, like archiving history. And I think when we think of the concept of an archival project, we think of like significant first or mm-hmm. things that stand out in all of our minds. But I also view Wisconsin Life as a historical archive of sorts.
Absolutely.
And it just excites me to think about the history that's being documented through Wisconsin Life. And so just kind of seeing that continue in the ways that we've been able to do it and maybe elevating and expanding what that looks like for the future. But even just that recognition that this is history that we're gathering here, and hope people 10, 20, 30 plus years from now can come back and glean something from watching old episodes.
There are still places for you to see in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. We have not been everywhere. And I'm open to checking out those unseen places.
That's very cool. Joel, what can we expect in the weeks to come in this season of Wisconsin Life? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, so I have a couple of stories. One about a young woman from Ashland who actually became the youngest person to circumnavigate the globe on a motorcycle.
I do believe. Is that tonight?
That is tonight as well.
Yes, Bridget McCutcheon from Nashville.
Interesting backstory. You talk about how we get stories. I went to high school with her dad. Neither of us lived in Wisconsin at the time, and I saw him post something on Facebook that his daughter was going to do this, and I messaged him. I said, "Hey, Jeff, you know what I do? Can we get access to Bridget?" And she took a GoPro along, and you will see the most amazing shots of her journey through 45 countries, 50,000 miles, her ups and her downs, and there were many downs, and she did not quit.
That's tonight at 7 on PBS Wisconsin. You can find it online at wisconsinlife.org, which I imagine you can find the email address so you can share your story with Angela and Joel. And I want to thank you both for what you do. I want to thank you for the way it makes me feel, and I want to thank you for sharing it with us today on The Larry Mueller Show. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Angela Fitzgerald is the host of Wisconsin Life tonight at 7 on PBS Wisconsin. Joel Waldinger is a series producer for PBS Wisconsin. He's been there since the beginning, a reporter for the Wisconsin Life Project. I want to thank them both for being with us, as well as you for being a part of our show and the team that makes it all possible. Clara Neipert, Joel Patenaud, Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau, and of course, Larry Mueller. It's Garden Talk tomorrow on The Larry Mueller Show, starting at 11. Aaron Presley will join us from the Old Brick Gardens. And also, Adam Alexander, the seed detective, tells us all about the accidental seed heroes. That's tomorrow on The Larry Mueller Show, starting at 11. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and you're listening to WPR News.